Good evening. Ecclesiastes, of course, we have been studying it on Wednesday nights. Recently, Christian has been in 1 Timothy. But when we look at the book of Ecclesiastes, we know it's about life under the sun. Of course, there's nothing new, as Solomon would put it. We see that Solomon himself had everything that man desires, whether it be pleasure, wisdom, labor, wealth, or earthly success. He had it all. And of course, after trying everything this world has to offer, he concludes that life without God is vanity. But I want us to look at Ecclesiastes 12:1 tonight. As it says, "Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days happen and the years draw near, in which you will say, I have no delight in them." This is not just a verse for young people. It is a verse for every soul. It teaches us that God must not be pushed to the end of life. He deserves the first, the best, and the whole of our lives. And so, the first thing we need to remember is who made us. Solomon begins by saying, "Remember also your Creator." In Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, it says, "And God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." This here, this text in Genesis chapter 1, means life did not begin with us. We are not accidents, and we are not our own. We were created by God. We were created to glorify, to serve him. We were not created on accident, like so many atheists will try to say. We did not evolve from apes, fish, little organisms, whatever it may be. We were created by God, and we are created in his image. In Psalm 100, verse 3, "Know that Yahweh, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." If God made us, he owns us. If God owns us, then we are accountable to him. As we see in Acts chapter 17, verses 24 through 25, "The God who made the world and all things in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all people life and breath and all things." And so we see here that we have been created by God once again. And every breath that we take from God is a gift. Every breath that we take every morning that we wake up is a gift from God. He made the world and everything and everyone who is in it. And we see that God has already spoken through his word in Colossians 3, verse 17. "And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." And so we see to do something in the name of the Lord means to do it by his authority. And so we are called to remember. We are called to remember who made us. When we forget who made us, we no longer live under their authority. We do as we please. We know what his word teaches. We know that we are under the new covenant. We know what sin does. But when we forget God, we find ourselves in sin. We find ourselves separated from the God of all. And so, secondly, we are to remember him while you are young. Solomon says, "Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth." In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, "For he says, at the acceptable time I listened to you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." You know, Scripture never teaches to obey God later. It says to obey now. It says to know him now, to be added to him now. I've heard that people have come to God later in life, regret waiting that long to come to him. Why? Because they have found that the freedom they have from sin, from that burden of sin, is something truly amazing. We must come now. As in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 15, while it is said today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me. Of course, the devil, our adversary, loves the word later. He does not have to convince a person to become an atheist if he can simply convince them to procrastinate. Procrastination used to be my main thing, and I'm sure a lot of us have procrastinated at some point in our life. But this is something that cannot wait. The longer you go, the better chance of never coming back, never having that opportunity to come to Christ. Some of the most famous, most popular statement by someone is, I will do it someday. And guess what? That doesn't cut it. In James chapter 4, verse 14, yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are a vapor that appears for a while, little while, and then vanishes away. Young people have this mindset, I will do it later. I will come someday. I've heard it all my life by my friends, by just younger people in general. They don't understand, or may understand, it just doesn't, and just don't care. But they have this mindset, I have my whole life ahead of me. That's not true. Death can come for anyone. But also, Christ could come back at any moment. When the trumpets sound, when the sky parts and we see our Lord and Savior, it's time up. There is no more chances. You won't have another chance. Or if you take your last breath, there's nothing more that can be done. Whether young or old, we need to understand that life is short. And you're not too young, you're not too old to serve God. The time is now. The time is now to choose to serve God. And so, there's something flying around. And so we must know that our time is limited. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but show yourself as a model to those who believe in word, conduct, love, faith, and purity. We know that Timothy was a young man who was charged by Paul to preach the word. He was sent to Ephesus to minister there. And we see that he would have had problems with the older folks looking down on his youthfulness. But Paul here is saying, let no one look down on your youthfulness, but show yourself as a model to those who believe in word, conduct, love, faith, and purity. Be godly before them. Be a godly example. There have been young men who have influenced older people in the way they conduct themselves. And just like the older influencing the younger in a godly manner. And it's so important. It doesn't matter how old. Steve Higginbotham, and I love this story, but he was at a congregation. He was speaking. And he saw this young man. The youth were sitting up front. He was by himself. And so he went over and talked to this young man. And he asked, why are you not over there sitting with all of them? He said, I don't want to be distracted by chatter, by what they're doing. I am here to worship God. And Steve said, that impacted me so much that day. And here's Steve Higginbotham, who's 40, 50 years old, and a young man, 16-year-old young man, making an impact on his life. And of course, Steve has seen a lot in his day. So no matter if you're young or old, you can be an influence. You can serve God. And so remember him before trouble comes. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Waiting hardens the heart. Sin lies to us. It tells us we are in control when the reality is we're not. The longer someone resists God, the harder repentance becomes. Their hearts become hardened. They no longer see what they are doing is wrong in the eyes of God. And so they see no need to repent. People have this mindset of, you know what, I'm a good person. I pay taxes. I take care of my family. God will accept me. If you haven't believed and obeyed the gospel, no, it won't be okay. Simply being a good person, simply doing what, abiding by the law of this in this world on the earth is not enough. We are called to follow his word and to do as he has told us. Waiting wastes influence. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. We need to understand a wasted life cannot be relived. You know, there are people who are dying and have regrets. Do you have regrets? Maybe you do. We cannot relive yesterday. We cannot relive a week ago, a year ago. But now, what we can do is let our light shine before man. We can take hold of every opportunity that we have. We know that forgiveness is available, but time lost cannot be recovered. Once again, a young man who serves God can influence friends, family, classmates, co-workers, and even future generations. At a church camp I used to go to, we had SCs, which were senior counselors, and we had JCs, which were junior counselors. Of course, the junior counselors, you had to be a Christian, and you had to be, I think, 15, 16 years old. And these young people came to work, they came to serve, and they came to be a good example for the younger men and women. And, of course, knowing teenagers, of course, they're not perfect. They make mistakes like we all do. But there have been some JCs who have influenced younger men and women to want to serve God, to want to be a part of the kingdom, to give their life to Christ. It's a wonderful thing to see. Waiting risks eternity. In Luke chapter 12, verse 20, but God said to him, you fool, this very night your soul is required of you, and now who will own what you prepared? What we have here in Luke 12, it tells us of a rich man who planned for many, many years. He planned for tomorrow, but he wasn't ready for eternity. Waiting will cost you eternity. Nobody lives daily with eternity in mind, and that's something we need to do. Older, younger, whoever, we need to be prepared for eternity because it's coming. This world will pass away, and everything in it, everything physical will pass. This is why Solomon says, remember your Creator before the evil days come. Once again, Solomon was wise. He received wisdom from God. And so, remember him by obeying him. To remember God is more than thinking about him occasionally. Just thinking about him on a Sunday morning, Wednesday night, Sunday night. Every day we need to remember him by obeying him. John 14:15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Many people claim to remember God, but they don't obey Him. They come on Sunday mornings, Sunday evenings, Wednesday nights. They put on what I call the holy mask. Then when they walk out the doors, they take it off and they put on a worldly mask. They live a double life. They remember God on holidays, during emergencies, at funerals, and when they need help. You know, it's sad that funerals, of course, you know, as a minister, you get up there, you talk about the individual, and you preach the truth. But these people never come together to hear the truth every Sunday or even every day. Being in His Word, they choose special times to hear the truth and never obey it. God wants more than just an occasional acknowledgement. Once again, we're told to deny oneself, to take up our cross daily, and to follow Him. It's a daily commitment. It's a daily thing. We need to remember our Savior. And so Ecclesiastes ends with this conclusion. Verse 13 of chapter 12. The end of the matter. All that has been heard, fear God and keep His commandments, because this is the end of the matter for all mankind. And this is the whole message of this book. If you want to sum the book up with one verse, here it is. Life without God is vanity, and life with God has purpose. And so we remember our Creator by obeying the gospel, the very book that you have in your hands that's before you on the pews. And finally, remember Him every day. Remember Him in your choices. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in Yahweh with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. You know, David, if you notice, and if you really read about, study David, David went to God for the big choices, the big decisions. But the smaller decisions, the smaller choices to be made, you never see him go to God. Whether our choices that we have to make are big or small, we should always pray. We should always ask for guidance. We should always go to God. Because God gives us the wisdom. God gives us the guidance through His Word. When we don't remember Him in our choices, then we will make the wrong ones. Remember Him in your relationships. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. We all have maybe chosen bad friends in the past. Friends who didn't help us stay faithful, who may have caused us to go astray. We need to choose friends who help your faith, not friends who pull you away from God. And the same goes for marriage as well. You warn young people, marry a godly person, a godly husband, a godly wife. Why? Because they will help you stay faithful. I tell young people this, marry a wife who loves God more than you, you have it made. And the same for young women, marry a husband who loves God more than you, you'll have it made. You'll find yourself putting God in the middle of that marriage, you'll find yourself, and there's nothing like worshiping together. Worshiping God, not just on Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday nights, but daily. Remember Him in worship. John chapter 4, verse 24. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. God is not to be worshiped however man pleases. God has set for us the way He wants to be worshiped. And if we go away from that, if we do as man wants us to do, what you have, vain worship. Once again, remember Nadab and Abihu, what they did. They offered strange fire. What happened? They were consumed. They lost their lives. Remember him in temptation. Genesis chapter 39, verse 9. There is no one greater in this house than I, and he has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do this great evil and sin against God? Joseph remained faithful all the way through his time in Egypt and would become the second most powerful man in all of Egypt. But here in this situation, Potiphar's wife wanted to lay with him. She was married. And what did Joseph do? He stayed faithful to God. He was not going to allow this woman to pull him away from God. He was not going to allow Satan in to pull him away. He was going to remain faithful. He remembered God when tempted. I tell young people, when temptation comes, remember God. Go to him in prayer. Go to his word. Get out of that situation. Get away from people who may influence you to do wrong. And finally, remember him in suffering. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Make sure that your way of life is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. When life becomes hard, remember God always, and not when we want to. Because once again, God has been faithful to us. He has not forgotten us. He has not left us to abandon us. He's always with us. And so remember him in suffering. And suffering's a part of life. But as long as we draw near to God, he will draw near to us. He will comfort us. He will provide for us all that we need. That's who he is. As long as we are faithful and obedient. And so this evening, the question is, have you forgotten God? Or do you remember him? And how can you know? Well, we know if we remember him, we're going to obey him. We're going to live faithfully. If you don't know him, then you can know you haven't obeyed him, and you need to do so this evening. And this is how you do it. You must hear the word, Romans 10, 17. Believe that word, Mark 16, 16. Then you need to repent. Repentance is change. Change of mind, change of life. And we're turning back to God. And then we are to confess our faith in Jesus as the Son of God, Romans 10, 10. But then we are to be immersed for the forgiveness of our sins, Acts 2, 38, Acts 22, 15, and 16. And then we need to remain faithful, remembering him not once a week, twice a week, once a month, once a year, every single day. So if you haven't made that commitment to Christ and have come to believe and obey the gospel, I pray that you do so this evening. And it'll be well worth it. Or if you have forgotten God and have found yourself struggling with sin, have found yourself back into your old ways, well, guess what? You still have time this evening to make things right, to repent and be restored to the kingdom. Come forward. Allow us as the church to assist you as we stand and as we sing.